If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the radiant divine light and love of the One Source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is Coping Strategies for Facing Crises and Change. So let's start with a centering meditation. Take a deep breath and relax. Bring yourself fully present into this moment. Sit in a relaxed posture with your hands open on your lap and gently watch your breath. Don't try to control it, just observe it. And as you sink into this quiet place that we're creating, take another deep breath and connect to your higher self. And allow that awareness that it is that higher part of you that is living and breathing and operating through your human instrument. You will notice that your breath follows your state of consciousness. If you're gripped with fear, you'll tend to withhold your breath. If you're in a mode of excitation, passion, or anger, your breathing will be heated and rapid. And when you go to any altered state of consciousness, your breath becomes quieter and calmer and slower until in some instances it stops altogether and you begin to breathe through the pranic tube in the fontanelle in the center of your skull like the dolphin. This is something that happens automatically. So there is a breath beyond the physical breath that is breathing you. That is a source of life. It is the living word, the living light of something far greater than our appearance in this world. It is something that we can connect into and allow to source through us. And that will enable us to live above the happenings in the outer world. It is a practiced skill. But it begins to activate the very second you intend to live from that greater self. So as part of the centering and quieting process as you watch your breath, when you inhale, be aware that your breath is making the sound so. And when you exhale, it is making the sound hum, which simply means, in Sanskrit, I am. So with every breath, you are affirming, I am. I am. Soham. 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 And whenever the mind wanders, simply redirect it to Soham. That will immediately center and quiet you. And it will enable you to regain your balance if you've stepped into any form of disharmonious exchange. Or if you're upset, be patient and allow your mind to gently ratchet down and cool off and become entrained in the mantra. So, I am. And allow the whole being to center and become quiet. In that state, you can receive very, very clear guidance. And that's what you need whenever you're facing crises or change. There's a higher state of consciousness that we all have the ability to access. And we can connect to a higher state of consciousness that remains unscathed no matter what we are physically confronting. To pass psychologically intact through any major life-altering event or calamity, being able to access this higher state is essential. I so love the statement from the Course in Miracles. Who can fear who lives in innocence and only loves? So living in innocence and only loving, I had a really direct experience out this weekend. 11-11, Sunday was my birthday. And I chose to spend it doing all-day gazing with Bratso. Bratso, for those of you who may not have heard my earlier shows that I've done on him, is a young Croatian man who simply stands and silently gazes at those who are assembled for about 7 minutes. But he embodies pure connection to Source. He embodies it silently. He doesn't take any money or anything for his gift. He doesn't ask or expect anything from anyone. He teaches no religion, no philosophy. He has nothing to say at all. He simply embodies that innocence that only loves. His only desire is that everyone should feel better and be happier. And it's very interesting that although you just stand and look at him and he looks at you, everyone is benefited in some way. The healings and testimonies pour in for every conceivable disease and terminal condition has been healed in some way or made better for so many people that now it's overwhelming evidence that whatever is sourcing through Bratso truly works according to the highest and best good of all. And it's nice that he doesn't define that for us, but we can call it whatever we will. But it feels like unconditional love. And it's very, very difficult to hold back your tears. It penetrates to the very deepest part of yourself. Much as I experienced with Sai Baba. When he looks at you, there is just unconditional love. It's like God is adoring you and singing your praises and celebrating you and seeing you completely as you are. So by staying connected, as Pratso does, both time and all physical limitations are transcended by something greater. And every one of us has the same ability, perhaps in a different way of expression, but every one of us can connect. And each can find their own way of connecting to this source energy, or one's higher self or God. The moment, the very moment you set your intention to connect with God, that higher self or whatever you want to call it, you do. It happens that fast. You don't have to understand how it happens. That's the ego mind trying to block and stall the process. Just close your eyes and take a deep breath and connect. Doing that initially helps you to access your connecting more consciously, but soon you'll be able to maintain that connection all the time, like Pratso does. He lives a very ordinary life. Pratso, by the way, means little brother in Croatian, which is a perfect name for him because he is like your own little brother, sweet and joyful and innocent, uncontrived and spontaneous. But he lives in his own reality. He lives in his own portable paradise. And he will never compromise his integrity to sell out to anything of this world. And so he elicits a trust that many of us have forgotten, where you simply walk in that higher consciousness with the innocent trust of a child. And yet that's the very king. A key to the kingdom of God that we are to move into within our own inner consciousness, which will then be represented in the outer world in a transformed view of the world. You see the world differently once the light has come. I'm reminded of Lesson 75 in A Course in Miracles, which reads, "The light has come. You are healed and you can heal. The light has come. You are saved and you can save. You are at peace and you bring peace with you wherever you go. Darkness and turmoil and death have disappeared. The light has come. Today we celebrate the happy ending of your long dream of disaster. There are no dark dreams now. The light has come. Today the time of light begins for you and everyone. It is a new era in which a new world is born. The old one left no trace upon it in its passing. Today we see a different world because the light has come." Our exercise for today will be happy ones, in which we offer thanks for the passing of the old and the beginning of the new. No shadows from the past remain to darken our sight and hide the world forgiveness offers us. You see, we need to forgive the world we think is out there, the world that the ego projects. You'll notice that all ranting and raving and complaining and criticizing and blame casting are all of the ego. Do you want to know how to cancel the momentum of the ego instantly? Move into gratitude. Appreciation and gratitude immediately cancel out the ego's momentum. So anytime you watch yourself moving into that critical consciousness where you're finding fault with the world or the president or the way things are going or the way things are running. That is the old paradigm. According blame, feeling like you're victimized, and pointing fingers at a world your mind has projected. And it's your own vendetta against the world that causes it to keep appearing in its frightful forms. Only by forgiving the world, which means to look past the illusion to the truth, can we truly step free of the world. You know, we just tend to make too big a deal out of this earth life. It is, after all, a big holodeck mock-up of reality. It's like a big, elaborate Hollywood set where we get to play at being all kinds of characters and enact all kinds of roles. But none of it is really real. It is always changing, and therefore it's temporary. It's important to gain a higher perspective. We must, if we would make this shift of consciousness into the new earth. We have to get to the point where we think and see in a new way, a way that's consistent with what we would have be there, rather than what we are fighting, and by the fighting, holding in place. So, we can use a practice period that the Course in Miracles suggests of looking at the world in a way that our forgiveness reveals to us as what we want to see, and only that. We hold our eye single on the world that the higher self will reveal to us, our connected self. Let's call it our mega self. Let's call it the hero within us, that greater part of us that rises beyond the limitations of lower consciousness into that overview that sees the beauty and perfection of all things. When you make that your single purpose and your single goal, success is inevitable. A new world will arise, and you will see everything as shining and beautiful. Your very being will become like paradise, and everything will reveal its innocence and its peacefulness to you. So we don't want to see the ego shadow on the world today. We see the light, and in it we see heaven's reflection lie across the world. So we do not dwell upon the past today. Let's keep a completely open mind, washed of all past ideas, and clean of every concept we have made. For we have forgotten the world that the forgiven world would now reveal to us. Just as our judgment hid the real world, so our forgiveness opens our eyes to see the world anew. And you can look on it now as if you had never seen it before. You don't know what it looks like. You simply must wait now to have it revealed to you. But while you wait, asking to see through your higher consciousness, you can remind yourself that the light has come to you, for you have forgiven the world. And realize that your forgiveness entitles you to vision. Understand that the Divine Spirit will never fail to give the gift of true sight to the forgiving. And he will not fail you now. You have forgiven the world, and he will be with you as you watch and wait. He will show you what true vision sees. It is his will, and you have joined with him in this. So wait patiently as you are taught to see all things through the eyes of innocence and love. The light has come, and you have forgiven the world. And who can fear who lives in innocence and only loves? So we dedicate this day and this seminar to the serenity in which God would have us live. We keep it in our awareness of ourself, and thus we see it everywhere. For as we see ourselves, so we will tend to see others and the world. But today we celebrate the beginning of our true vision and the sight of the real world, a world which has come to replace the unforgiven world that we thought was real. It's very interesting, the first thing that happens to you when you fall in love or find your guru or take a major initiation in consciousness, your sight is changed. You see things differently. I remember when I first found Sai Baba, it was like the whole world had been washed clean. I saw the beauty of everything. And that's when that mystic sight is opened. So the world we see very much matches the state of consciousness that we're looking from and through. Perhaps you have a reference point for a time when you were in a very difficult situation of crises or change or calamity, and something greater than you took over. Something that completely transcended your own inadequacies and waxed strong and brave and magnificently, and handled everything with a level of complete mastery. Can you find such a time? It is quite possible to activate and stay in that higher consciousness. Oh, it takes constant monitoring. You know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, so we can't go to sleep on the switch. We have to challenge ourselves every day to rise above the limitations that we have placed upon ourselves. For we're the only ones that limit ourselves. We're the ones that define the circumference of possibility in our life. You know, we all have a ring pass knot that our limitation has formed around the miraculous. And so we have to break out of that cycle of thinking in terms that things can only happen within the known context and the operational parameters of the old world. Now that we are stepping through the fourth dimension and on that causeway right between the third and fourth, moving into the fifth, we are at a place where we need to challenge ourselves to go beyond what we have been taught and conditioned to believe is possible. That's why we need to release the way the world has been. The world will never return to the way it was before. Hear that and come into acceptance with that. You can't have a new world unless the old world is uprooted and disrupted in some way, just like you don't plant a new crop without uprooting and turning over the soil and preparing the soil to receive new seeding. So in like manner, everything in our earth is undergoing an upheaval because it's going to be totally revamped. Albeit, we are moving into a cycle in which as we move into the fifth dimensional world or the fifth world or the fifth globe, however you want to reference it, that which has been of the old world will suddenly begin to be less noticed until we don't see it at all. And then we will have moved fully into that dimension. So you can even gauge where you are in that process by the world you are looking at. The world that you're seeing through your current level of consciousness. If you're still seeing in terms of againstness and according blame and criticizing and hating and fighting, you're still in the third dimension of duality. You're still locked in the old world. Because when you move into that higher consciousness level, you will be in a state in which Bratzo is currently, obviously, living from. One of peace and fellowship and kinship and connectedness with the divine in all things. It's as natural for him as breathing in and breathing out. And it's very interesting. Bratzo got his gift by simply silently sitting with his teacher, Ivica, who was a great prophet and healer in Croatia. He just sat with him. Ivica never taught him anything. He never talked about spiritual things to him. Granted, he had written several books, which Bratzo read. But basically, he just sat with him every day and watched him work. And he was only with him 16 months before Ivica drowned and passed from this world. And Bratzo was the last one to know that he was to take on the work. He didn't feel like he had any abilities. But that was transmitted to him through his teacher. The gift was entirely imparted, quickened, and activated. The destiny that he carried, which had been latent up until the time of Ivica's passing. It's interesting, too, that Satya Sai Baba, in his previous incarnation as Shirdi Sai Baba, said that he got all of his abilities in the same way, that he only gazed upon his guru, Venkusa, with devotion, and that his devotion, which captivated his whole attention, he said he couldn't even take his eyes a moment from his guru. He was in such a deep state of attunement and devotional fervor. And that through that devotion and nothing else, all of that ability came to him, which then manifested in an outrageously audacious and incredible ministry, very much a healing ministry, very much a transforming ministry that operated through Shirdi Sai Baba and continues, even though he's passed away, that power is still operative as if he were still here. And it's the same with Satya Sai Baba. So do not discount the power of a person who embodies presence, that silent presence. And know that when you embody your presence, that is when the authentic gift that has been deposited as your destiny begins to come forward. But it is very often catalyzed by some abrupt change, crises, or something that shifts your customary way of being and living in the outer world. Very, very often you will find that is the case. With Bratzo, it was the shock of literally having his mentor drown in front of him and having to take his dead body back to Croatia from the vacation area where they were in some island. I don't recall where. With Satya Sai Baba, you had a scorpion bite, a deadly scorpion bite that would have normally killed a person that bit him when he was 14 years old and sent him into a completely altered state and trance. From that traumatic event, that activated and quickened his emergence as an avatar. That ability that was dormant was quickened. Likewise, the catastrophes that have befallen the people on the east coast of the United States and in disrupting just millions of lives and bringing people into very dire straits without electricity or heat in a very cold area, flooded and practically very, very difficult to find food and water and shelter and gasoline and any kind of provision. I would imagine that out of that, many dormant destinies have been quickened because the shock of that event had to have brought tremendous changes in that inner consciousness that life as usual could have never brought forward. So I want you to look at disruptions in your life, whether they're seeming like accidents or abrupt changes or shocks, tornadoes, earthquakes, whatever, begin to look at them in a little bit different way as part of activating and outing your destiny, of getting that inner promise, that inner gift externalized in your life. I'm sure that we'll hear many, many outstanding stories of bravery and courageous acts that far transcend the level of human limitation, just as we did with 9/11. So many heroes stepped on the scene. So there is a mega me, which we could call your high self, that is the hero in you. And there's also the mini-me, who is the scaredy cat, the inner coward, that only wants to fight situations or run from them. But the challenge is to rise and connect by conscious choice with that higher part of yourself and not to waste this opportunity of change and crises that is impacting just about every area on the planet in some way. Don't waste this time. Make use of it. Don't keep trying to return to the way things were. That is a waste of time. Obviously, the whole momentum of the Earth is change, rapid change, and irrevocably transformative change. So we got to get with the program here. Hoarding and doomsday prepping are not the ways to survive. For it's obvious that no matter what we may do to physically prepare to face whatever potential calamity, a single storm surge, tornado, or earthquake can wipe out our best preparations in a second. So we need on-the-spot coping strategies to psychologically get us through tough times. And the good news is that the real you, that higher state of consciousness, that mega me, is safe in every dimension and will accompany you no matter what happens. So if it's your time to cross over to the other side, that higher part of you will guide your way through. You take that higher part with you. The ego stays behind, but the higher self is that part of you that is eternal and ongoing. So that's important to remember, because it may be the time for many people to leave this dimension and work from the other side. It may be easier for them for a variety of reasons, and reasons that they have all chosen on some level. So we have to honor the choice factor here. So there are certain keys that I would like to share with you that will really shift your consciousness if you employ them. Key number one, remind yourself, no matter what's going on, that God is present. God is here in this situation. God has it handled. So just remind yourself, you can start throughout the day. Just pause periodically and be aware that you live inside God. You exist in God. and God dwells in you, as you. You're connected. But remember that God is present in whatever situation you find yourself. You're never alone. Now, that divine presence will supply everything you need to handle the situation in which you find yourself. If you need a way to escape, a way is always provided. Because your problem and the solution or answer always comes as a unit. So inherent within the situation, the provision will be there in the exact form that you need it at that moment. We get into worry and angst when we worry about the provision for tomorrow. We have to stay present with here and now. Food, water, shelter, here, now. And learn to live in that state. It's a greater state of security than hoarding, and which is really an act of fear and desperation, or doomsday prepping, which is more of the same. So once you have turned your life over to God, to the higher power, it is God's duty to guide, guard, protect, and provide for you. So key number two, when you find yourself in a crisis situation, stop and ask God what to do. Ask. Now quiet down. Observe your breath. Get calm. Connect with your higher self. And ask. And while you ask, also, take stock of your situation and appraise it. See what your resources are at hand. There are many situations, for example, if you should find yourself in a situation where you're trapped or under debris or where you have a fear of not being discovered or found, say you're stranded somewhere, you must know that God is always with you and will lead those to you to find you if that is for your highest and best good. That you do have an allotted span of time on earth to undergo and experience and learn a specific allotted set of lessons and experiences. And once they are completed, you are free to move on to the next classroom. Don't fear that. That is the natural cycle of life. But wherever you are, God is with you and is working for your highest and best good, regardless of the situation you find yourself in. If you stay calm and conserve your energy and keep breathing, focusing on your breath, not panicking, training yourself to be in God, regardless of where you are, you can actually dissolve the matrix of reality around you, and suddenly you show up and your rescuer shows up because you have shifted the dynamic of that reality construct with your consciousness. This is the power of staying connected to a higher consciousness that transcends time and all limitations. So this is your primary power, is to be able to center, connect, stay calm, and stay in God regardless of what your body is undergoing. Now, this key applies in every crisis in which you may find yourself. And this key will enable you to access grace, supernatural assistance that wouldn't be available otherwise. You'll notice that ideas, solutions, whatever will suddenly occur to you. They'll just drop into your awareness. So God's answer and directions can come in seemingly surprising and miraculous ways. There's a certain flow and ease of resolution that orchestrates itself around you. And that would be what we call that flow of grace. Sometimes others will appear on the scene and supply the needful. God can send angels, and masters can step through dimensions in any time and place. It's so interesting, sometimes you'll hear children that have been in dreadful disasters. I think we heard some in Haiti, where the child said that Jesus had taken her and fed her. She was under the debris for many days, and they were surprised to find her nourished and peaceful and calm. And she said that Jesus had taken care of her, had given her milk and food. So know that the physical world is an illusion that's very malleable to supernatural insertions of divine miraculous grace that transcend all limitation, that lift us beyond our rational understanding and to an entirely different state of being. There were people that were stranded in snowstorms that were able to maintain health by visualizing that they were eating warm soup as they sucked on the snow, that they were having delicious meals as they were eating the snow, that they were warm and covered with blankets, even though they would have, by seemingly natural circumstances, had hypothermia. Likewise, there's been those cases in the concentration camps where people were able to shift and alter their consciousness to where they didn't starve to death. And they actually were able to sustain their lives and even feel love towards their tormentors and captors. Obviously, that comes from a level greater than the human ego self. But where does one get that kind of resource? They tap into it in a moment of great duress. They don't succumb to the negativity and the vengeance of the ego. Because if you send forth hatred, you disconnect yourself from the source of love, which is also the source of grace and salvation. So it's very important to learn not to go into that lower self that finds fault, criticizes, judges, and points fingers of blame. Just put an end cycle to that behavior. It will not serve you at all, and it may cost you your life. It's only by living in a higher state of consciousness that you can transcend the world and all that it tries to throw at you. There's no limit to the ways that God can intervene and deliver you out of the most dire situations. So, key number three, what you love is yours forever. Love goes with you forever. You take only love, the love you are, the love you've shared, the love you've received. You take only that with you into eternity. So everything you truly value and cherish is safe with God. And it is yours. You have not lost it. This is a great comfort and solace to know that you can never lose what you truly love and value. For example, mutual love always, always revisits you. And you're always united with your loved ones. Nothing can permanently separate us from the love of God. And nothing can separate us from those we love. All the costumes and the roles we adopt may change, but that love will always draw our loved ones back into our lives, no matter what occurs, life after life, dimension after dimension. You are always surrounded by what you love. Another comforting thought is that no matter what you lose on earth, there is a replica maintained in the Akashic Records. We can learn how to access and view our Akashic Records if that is something you really feel guided to do. But nevertheless, every moment of your life and that of your loved ones is preserved in what has been called God's Book of Remembrances, or the Akashic Records. So when you pass out of this physical incarnation, you are taken to what is called the Hall of Memories. And there you get to see a movie of your entire life from start to finish in lifelike portrayal and exact detail. That means your children's baby pictures or your wedding album or whatever was lost in a flood or tornado, all of your pictures will be found recorded in your Akashic Records. Everything, every memory that you would want to have preserved is waiting there for you. And at a certain level of mastery, you have full access to all of your records, all of your past lives, and all the planets and all the dimensions. And you have that to look forward to. So you never lose what is important to you, what is truly, truly cherished. Another interesting fact, when you have come to Christ and accepted his gift of salvation, all of your bad behavior, all of your sins, all of your mistakes are blotted out of your record. They have become justified by his atoning grace. And the word justified means that it is just as if it never happened. So all your sins and transgressions are remitted. And remitted means they were blotted out and no longer appear in your records. So once you've come to the Lord and given your life to the Lord and asked to be forgiven and cleansed of all your sins, the grace of Christ takes over your life, and your name is then written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then only your good deeds appear on your record and are recorded in the Book of Life. And then when you look at your records, you see all the good and meritorious things you did, all the things that you will be taking with you into eternity. So when you come to God and ask for forgiveness, you pass literally from death to life, from the law of karma to the way of grace. And your karmic debt was prepaid for you by Jesus the Christ, so that you could be made righteous and worthy through his atoning sponsorship, rather than your own works, which could take eons for you to do without divine assistance. So that divine sponsorship is yours for the asking. You know, God belongs to us, and the question becomes, do we belong to God? And we do if we have wanted and intended and asked to belong to God. So once you come under the sponsorship of the Christ, it is like an umbrella of grace covers your life and that of your loved ones. And you truly are spiritually born anew and have a directly guided life from then on as a more conscious child of God and a more conscious heir to the divine God realms. So that is the divine will and plan for you and for everyone. And it's one that you simply need to accept, again, with the innocent trust of a child. And this great gift of pardon and grace is for you. For it's God's will that you live a happy and divinely connected life, and that you learn how to be directed from a source that is higher and greater. So, know that whatever you lose here, your home, your property, your precious photos and memorabilia, will await your arrival in the many mansions of the heaven worlds. There have been, you know, quite a few people who've had near-death experiences who report having been taken by the angels to heaven and actually shown their heavenly homes. And most of these people were really surprised to find that their homes perfectly reflected their tastes and personal preferences. Well, why wouldn't they? Your Creator knows exactly what you like best. Wouldn't the home He prepares for you be perfectly pleasing to you in every way? So that's another pleasant, wonderful thing to think of. And the fourth key is we're only tourists here. The thing we need to always bear in mind is that this world and dimension are not our home. This is a world that we are only temporarily visiting. We're here to have certain experiences, and then we move on from Earth to have new experiences elsewhere. Life is continually unfolding. Enlightenment is open-ended and ongoing. There's always a next. There's always a plus factor. So the fifth key is to remind yourself that this too shall pass. Whatever it is, this too shall pass. Everything is temporary here. The only thing permanent is love and who you are as an expression and embodiment of that love. But while you are here, look around and see who you can help now. That's what you do. Wherever you find yourself, in a disaster or crises or whatever, there's always somebody worse off than you are. Look around yourself and see who you can help. The best way you can boost your own survivability, your own immune system and health, is to focus on what you can do to help someone worse off than yourself. Your immune system, your mood, your state of consciousness, your sense of well-being are all boosted and enhanced by serving others and getting your focus off of yourself. You know, the more focused you are on yourself, the more you suffer. The more you can rise above the personal, the more you're in that higher consciousness. So if you find yourself caught in the middle of a major crisis, you know, like the folks in New Jersey, New York, or elsewhere, if you're able, get involved in serving and helping, encouraging and comforting those around you. This will immediately shift your state of consciousness into high gear, and you'll feel renewed strength pour into you, and even joy will start to build within you. If you're elderly, injured, or incapacitated, now is the time, if you've not done it before, to give yourself completely into the hands of God and summon as much faith, trust, and sweetness as you possibly can. This may be your day to graduate and to move into that home that God has prepared for you. Trust that He who cared for you before you awakened to this lifetime will also take care of you as you awaken to your new life in the next dimension. No matter what, trust God, the God that keeps all of those celestial spheres in perfect orbit, that sent all souls into incarnation, who also draws all of those souls back into His love when their time here is completed. Trust that. Certainly that God knows what is best for you now. Trust it. Rely on it. Relax. Let go and let God handle the details of your life. Your job, especially from now on until we move all the way through into that final birthing into the fifth world, your sole job is to stay connected to love, to your true higher self. That's all you need to do. Love and God will take care of you. Love and the earth herself will take care of you. Love and nature itself will accommodate you. Love and the birds will feed you like they did the prophet in the desert. You know, miracles will step out of the woodwork to assure your safety and your provision if you stay in that heart coherency, that heart resonance, that loving gratitude of the higher consciousness. So stay rooted in trust and love, and everything will turn out just fine. You'll see. We are in an amazing time, and every soul on earth chose to be here to experience this earth's birth into the fifth world, into the new earth, and we are all well equipped. And whatever we need will activate as it's needed and will become available to us as we live in this higher state of connectedness. Again, here are your keys in numerical order. Number one, God is present in this situation. Number two, ask God to show you what to do. Number three, everyone and everything you cherish is safe with God. Number four, this world is not your home. We're only tourists. And number five, this too shall pass. So look around and see who you can help now. And the biggest attitude adjuster, remember, is simply gratitude. Gratitude shifts you into your mega me, into your higher state of consciousness. Gratitude cancels the ego's momentum. Gratitude opens you up to grace and miracles. So stay in that state of gratitude. The moment you feel like you want to complain and criticize and when you get in your ungrateful state, the minute you get into that state, it's like you close down and the light then is darkened. You'll notice people in a negative state of consciousness, their faces are even darkened. Notice people that are in a higher attitude and state of consciousness, how their faces radiate light. They look more beautiful and attractive. Begin to notice the faces of the people around you. The face very much reflects the consciousness and the state that one is expressing from. Beauty and radiance go with godliness. Be beautiful by being radiant with gratitude and love. When you're in a difficult situation, instead of complaining, thank God. So many people in the tornado that hit Joplin, Missouri, so many people, it must have been a community of faith, so many people said, I thank God that I'm alive. I thank God that my family is safe. I thank God that, you know, we survived this. And, you know, things come and go. They're just material. We can always replace them. But we have our lives. And for that, we're so grateful. So whatever the situation, it could always be worse. So be grateful for what you have while you have it. And when you don't have it, find something to be grateful for, even if it's just your breath. Maybe that's all you have left. It's your breath. Be grateful for that. Let gratitude be the way that you walk with love, with God. Let gratitude be the way you say, I love you, Lord. Let gratitude be the way that that divine song sings through you, a beautiful symphony of adoration, innocence, purity, and grace. So let's go out chanting, Anai Hu. And again, Anai Hu opens your heart, connects you to Source and to your brothers and sisters throughout the world. Because we're one people, one heart, and one life, being lived by that which is so far greater than any one of us alone. Deep breath. and we send our blessings and our love, that the grace and love of God touch to every man, woman, and child on this planet and help them to connect to the love that they are. May peace and love prevail upon this beautiful planet. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord Adonai.